Welcome to Mortgage Sales Playbook. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host. My podcasts are where top producers, sales leaders, and industry experts share strategies that drive real sales success. No fluff, just actionable insights to help you master the art of selling and leading. Today we have a great topic, upsetting the cult of comfort. With everything going on, I think that's a perfect title. And I have Mike Cush, who's well known in our industry. He had a long career at PHH and New Penn. He currently is a consulting business on the sales system improvement world, which is certainly needs it. So hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good.
I love the title.
Yeah, because it's so true. We've had Redfin, we've had Rocket, we've had Zillow, we've had quite, you know, Mr. Cooper. We've had a series of things that I think have shook up the industry to a point that I haven't seen in a while. And I know your conversation has probably been similar to mine, where a lot of people are trying to figure out what to do next. So what are you hearing from people? And let's talk about how we can really kind of fix all of this.
So earlier this week, or maybe last week, I did a post about change and the mentality of change, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I find in our industry is that it is very insular, very inside looking. It's built around what works best for the industry as opposed to necessarily what's built mm-hmm. best for the consumer. And it's very resistant to change. I understand industries are resistant to change, but I think ours is more so than most because of the nature of the fact that so much of the control of the industry has been pushed out, pushed from the top down to the loan officers. So I think when the industry sees stuff like the Redfin and Rocket purchase, their first instinct is going to say it's going to fail. There's no way that it could ever do better than what we do. That's not what people want. But I think that, you know, we're in an industry where it's the number one thing is getting leads. And I think our industry forgets sometimes that, like, when you think of marketing 101, there's four P's, and our industry doesn't always focus on all four of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that when you see somebody like Rocket and Redfin that's saying, we're going to look at a broad brush, right? We're going to look at all
sure.
P's and think of a different way to go. I think that scares people, and their reaction is to say, that won't work.
Well, I agree with you 100%. It's interesting you started off with that comment because one of the things that I do, because I do see it as being really kind of, we're captive of our own thinking. And I think it's not just the mortgage space, it's the banking and financial service space. We only hire people from that industry. We don't really bring in new ideas. And as a result, there is a hesitation to think that change can be done or that we need to rethink it. I think a lot of it has been, and I know you've been in the industry a long time, I think a lot of it's tied together because it originally was regulatory driven and everything was really like, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And there's still some of that thinking, especially when the executives are older, because that's what they remember. They remember those days, and those days really have changed. What do you think about that?
I agree. I mean, I think that there is kind of a firewall or, mm-hmm. You know, between mortgage and real estate in the minds of many people because of RESPA. Mm-hmm. But, you know, RESPA is just making sure that you're, you know, if you give the person choice, if you explain the relationship, that doesn't prevent you from presenting a different type of experience to your consumer. They can always opt out. Mm-hmm. But I think that mentality has prevented any type of different approach. And I think that, again, the Redfin Rocket thing is a great example of you can combine forces. You just have to do it properly. And I think that we're probably at a tipping point in our industry. I agree with everything that you've said. I think that the AI, if you look in the course of the last month, mm-hmm. the improvement in avatars and agentic AI is so drastic. You know, it went from a year ago where people were talking about AI, but it was just, you know, it was just mm-hmm. talk to today where you see these videos of people answering mortgage questions and you can't tell if they're real or not. Mm-hmm. A lot of that comes from outside. So I think we're at a tipping point where there's going to start to be some real outside influence on our industry because the industry is either going to change with it or the change is going to come without the industry, right? Because because the tools are too great, because the influence on the process that they can have is too great. And most of that stuff is created from folks outside.
Well, I agree with you, and I even see it with my own business. I've been using AI for a long time now, and it's fabulous, but there's a lot of hesitation within senior management of a lot of companies about the usage of it. And I can't see as a loan officer or as a salesperson that you're not using this. If you're not, you are really going to be left behind because it has so many advantages for you. So what do you think, this cult of comfort that I talk about it, because we're relatively the same business that has been for a while. There's been minor changes. We're lucky when we get a refi market because what happens that you don't have to do any deep thinking and the business just comes to you. And I think that's the troubling part now is that when you look at the profitability, we still have fundamentally the same problem that our expenses, especially on the sales side, is way too high. And technology can't close that gap at the moment. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that you're right, that if you think about the I got into the mortgage business in 1998. If I think about what the process is for a consumer or a lender then versus today, it's changed much more for the lender than it has for the consumer. For the consumer, the biggest difference is when I first started talking to people over the phone, they had to go up into the attic over the weekend and track down their own tax returns or pay stubs. That part has changed, but being honest, it primarily changed because it made it easier for the industry, not for the consumer. The consumer benefited from that change, but it was done to make the processing of that piece of paper smoother from beginning to end. So the experience hasn't changed that much. I think that, again, I just think that we're ripe for all of that to turn on its head, because you can't name another industry where things haven't changed in 30 years or 35 years. Like, it doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. And I think that we're on the precipice of that. I agree with you that if loan officers and everybody isn't using AI in some way, there's a common phrase in not just mortgage, but all of the business world, which is AI is not going to cost you your job. The person who's better at using AI is going to cost you. I think that's true over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. I think in the long run, bluntly, AI is going to cost a lot of people their jobs. In the short term, it's the people that are becoming a little bit more efficient and effective and do something with that extra time that are going to rise to the top.
And I think you raised a good question that certainly what I've had these discussions with executives. I mean, I just had it this week where if you're going to deliver average to crummy experience, you're going to get replaced.
No,
And
absolutely.
I got to tell you that the loan officer, many of them, a majority of them, don't even call their own former customers. And we've had all this technology that we've had for years. They don't even call them. And actually, Strathmore, Mike Seminari, he talks about this all the time, that prior to the closing, the biggest thing you can do as a loan officer is call the customer to explain the CD. Most people do not do that. And so my point is, if you're going to be average to crummy,
Somebody's going to do it better.
somebody's going to do it better. And it all starts, in my view, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, at the executive level. The loan officer, okay, they are obviously the implementer, but at the executive level, it's the vision of the future and what is a good customer experience. So talk about that, because I know you've spent a lot of time on that issue and certainly have important thoughts on it.
So I think that because of the nature of the business, I saw you did a post the other day about which group of loan officers you impact, right? So the top people, they are what they are. They're great. They do fine. The very bottom folks are frankly in the wrong job, but the folks in the middle are the people that can be impacted. And companies don't do enough to do exactly what you said, which is they're so scared of telling people what to do because they might leave, that they have no control over their customer experience. I think that one of the biggest risks of the Rocket Redfin of the world isn't Rocket Redfin. It's companies saying if we control the experience more and have scripting for the explanation of the LE that matches every place that they see that throughout our company, whether it's the loan officer's explanation, the collateral that they get, same thing with the CD. If they start to control part of that process, they remove the angst, they make the experience better. Because I always think that people pick a lender for one of three reasons. They either pick them for price cost value, right? They pick them for the reputation or the trust. Reputation and trust is usually not of the loan officer, it's given to the loan officer. So it's the reputation or trust of the real estate agent or the financial institution that they deal with. The final reason is guidance or education or the experience. And that's the part of the customer base that in our industry ignores, frankly. And that's the biggest opportunity. The biggest opportunity is there's a lot of people out there that are shopping for guidance, education, experience that they can't find it. I always think that Rocket grew through the last 20 years for one primary reason, which is they talked about experience. They talked about the process, and they were the
Correct.
people that did it. I don't know that they did it on purpose, but they were the only people that differentiated themselves and talked, in their direct-to-consumer messaging about the experience. And I personally think they attracted that group of consumers that were looking for that. I think it's a huge, I think it's the biggest opportunity in mortgage. And when you combine that with the fact that the middle place, which is where distributed retail gets all its leads, which is the reputation trust bucket, if somebody comes and takes those leads from the real estate agent, which the Zillow, Redfin.com, Homes.com are doing, you're in trouble because you don't have a customer-facing value proposition and your source of leads has just moved. So
No, I'm with you 100% on this, and it raises the question. So let's, how do we shake up? Because I talk to executives all day long, and I know you also do. And I see a lot of defensive thinking. I see no thinking. And I'm curious on, in my own opinion, as I've said to many people that I've discussed this with, is that I think we're in this lull period between a generational change that is significant, that's going to leave a lot of lenders really not able to survive. And so to think that and just say that this is just a price business. It's all the things you've talked about, and it's not. And we still are working on that type of thinking. And of course, as a result of that, everything stays the same. So how do we shake up at the executive level? Because that's really where it all starts. What is it that they're just, and I still see it today, they're waiting for a refi market.
yeah, and it's a shame. It's one of the shames of the industry. Not they should be shamed, but it's a shame that the industry really needs the occasional refi bubble to survive financially.
Correct,
It's really
correct.
sad. It's a shame, but it is the nature of the nature of the industry. What I think is that you have to paint a picture for the executive of you have to use some statistics and say, X percentage of your leads come from here, and you can see these groups of people are going to steal your leads. Paint them a picture of what the future looks like and ask them how they're going to get business. Are their loan officers prepared to get business in that new world? I see very few companies that have changed anything to go after business in a future world. For example, I see NFM has a social division, right, where it's all social media to go out and get leads. It's insane that there isn't 150, the top 150 distributed retail companies aren't doing exactly the same thing.
Correct.
It makes no sense at all. The writing is on the wall. The world is changing. You either change with it or you're going to be left behind.
So Mike, from your viewpoint, do you think it's just a matter that at the executive level, there's still a primarily a lot of older people? Or maybe older thinking. And then we haven't been able as an industry to bring in younger thinking and younger people. And so,
I don't know that I would say older is the prime factor, although you're probably right. I think that it's an industry where, listen, in a lot of industries, the top salespeople rise to the top. And I, in no way, shape, or form, I'm saying this as an example, but Shant Banozian becoming the president of Rate, he's awesome. He does things differently. So he's not, I'm only using him because he's an example of somebody that was the best salesperson that just rose to the top. When you have that, him aside, because I don't think he's this way, your thinking is that the way to do this business is the way I did the business, and they should
Correct.
go do the business, and I don't understand why they can't do it the way I did it. I think it's that more than it is age or some other demographic. I think it's that's the way I got success, so that's the way that other people will get success. I think that if I were on the board of directors of an IMB and we were in search for a new CEO, I would probably do what Rocket did, and I would look for somebody that's in, consumer products and tech, and bring
Right.
in an outsider, because you have to change the thinking. You have to change. I mean, think of the places that have already solved this problem. You can go to a car dealer and sit down and get financing on the spot. But worse than that, my daughter's in college. She could sit down and, as an 18-year-old, in 3 minutes, get a $200,000 loan to go to college with no collateral. So it's going to become that simple. And when it
Right.
becomes that simple, if you don't have a value proposition, you're turning it into a commodity. And if you turn it into a commodity, the people with the biggest system and the greatest economies of scale are going to win. And it's not going to be you if you have 10,000 loan officers on the street, because that's not efficient.
Right. So talk about, since we only have a few minutes left, the issue of what changes that could occur that would make a difference to really shake up this thinking. I know you already mentioned data, but I think there's been a lot of data out there, and I don't know that it's registered. I think there's been a lot of internal focus on really, like, if we get the CFB out and all that type of stuff.
Here's what I would say to you, and this is contrary, and I think I'm going to agree with you, is that the talk of data,
And you really
everybody talks
don't
about
have
data.
any type
Anybody
of
who talks about the data,
relationship
the data.
except
When
on rate,
Redfin bought
you're going
Rocket,
to
it's
only
like they
have a
bought all
few
that
winners
data. No,
under
they
that
didn't. They bought
strategy.
eyeballs.
Yeah.
They bought people that are coming to walk in front of the store. So they moved this, they got a bigger store on Main Street that more people walk in front of, that they can bring them in. So if all you're focused on is data, think about it. You're focused on all this data, but you have a loan officer who won't enter anything into a CRM, and you have no control over them, and you see them twice a year. Are they using that data effectively? Of course they're not. So
Right.
the thing that has to change isn't the data, it isn't how well you know your customer. It's how do you get the eyeballs on them and then attract them?
Right.
And I think that if you said that's, something that's a change, this is something that's existed for 30 years, but the industry pushes against. I posted about this about 2 weeks ago, and every single person that responded said it will never work. If you ask a consumer, would they be interested in a process where they only talk to one person throughout the entire process? Some large percentage of them is going to say yes. And if you're telling me that you want to be a loan officer and make $350,000 a year, but you couldn't also learn real estate, right? So you couldn't be a single point of contact and be dual licensed and be the main point of contact that guides your person through the process. You got a team of experts behind you if you run into something unique that you don't know, which, guess what? Everyone does anyway. It's called the underwriters, it's the scenario desk. So we already do that. But when I posted about a single point of contact being a potential thing, every single person said, it can't work. We need two experts. Why do you need two experts? Well, so I think that there's basic changes that could be made in the industry. You have to start at the consumer and work backwards. What do they want? Ask, what would they ideally want the process to look like? And it would be simpler, not more complex. It wouldn't be, I want to talk to six different people. I always say, the only thing that's comparable in a person's life, in a person's personal life, to buying a house, dealing with people over 30, 60, 90, 120 days a year, dealing with a real estate agent, a mortgage person, an attorney, a closing agent, an appraiser, an inspector, is when you have a complex medical issue and you have to deal and you have to navigate all those different people throughout the course of an extended period of time. There's nothing else like it. There's nothing else that's as complex as that. And if you could have your doctor be the point person for every doctor that you have to go see, you would choose it every single time. Same thing with mortgage and real estate.
I agree with you 100%. I have to have you back. You're raising all the key questions, and I don't know, and I guess this is really a topic for another conversation, is that Can we make incremental changes, or do we need to make drastic changes? And I'm more opting for the drastic, because
Why?
I think incremental has been tried and it hasn't really worked. So, any last comments that you would like to make to our listeners today?
No, I mean, I think that the conversation is exactly on point. People need to start thinking towards the future. I think that people have to, one thing our industry doesn't typically do is look to other industries to steal ideas.
Correct.
And I think that's what they really need to start doing is to look and look for inspiration in other places and find ways to apply it to us, because change is going to come, and you're either going to be a part of that or you're going to be a dinosaur.
Correct. Well, Mike, I want to thank you for joining us today. And I certainly want everybody, he's on LinkedIn posting great questions and great information. Connect with him. And certainly, Mike, how could they reach out to you if they want to have a further conversation?
LinkedIn is the easiest way. I'm on there most of the day, so if you shoot me a message, I will shoot you right back.
All right, sounds cool. All right, well, thanks so much, Mike, and I want to thank
Right,
our
thanks, Pat.
listeners. Certainly subscribe to our podcast. We issue one every Monday. I'd love to have you join us and subscribe. Thanks so much.
See ya.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your team. Want more proven sales strategies? Visit patsherlock.com for expert resources, coaching, and sales training. Until next time, keep selling smarter and not harder.